this is exactly right.
All right, I'll call this BOE meeting, summer BOE, to order here. It's 9:15. We are 15 minutes late. Those who are listening in, apologize for being late. First on the agenda is the 9 o'clock. I just want to remind all the board members, we've got a very full schedule. The clerk's office, because of the election cycle, is going to be listening in. So if we have any debate about clerk duties, we'll just make sure we table them and come back to them at the, after a break or something. So I think we'll be in good shape. So just for everyone listening in the audience, we have till 10 o'clock, actually until 10 o'clock before we need to wrap up our discussion. And if we need to come back at a later date, we can. Or come at the end of the day, we can. So we're going to try to keep on pace as best as possible. So everyone should have their flash drives. If you have questions, Jim Hughes is available to help pull up those cases. The first case we'll be dealing with is ending in 0055, which is the Branson Airport LLC. And for those guys, the airport, what traditionally we do is you guys will come up, state your case for the appeal. The board will probably have some questions for you. Then at that point, the attorney may state some cases, reasons why, or hit the position of the assessor. The assessor may chime in. And then we may or may not have time in that 45 minutes to make a decision. And then if not, we'll table that vote until the end and maybe add more discussion either at the end of the day. It could be we've scheduled time for tomorrow, and of course our responsibilities by the end of the month, so it'll be Friday also. Just so you guys know, I think the airport people know that we did have a work session last Friday, and we spent, I think it was last Friday, a couple hours discussing some of the, I think some of the positions you guys are going to be coming from, so that we at least were, since it's a non-traditional type of situation, so whoever wants to come to speak, we are streaming live on the internet. We are recording it for meeting's sake. And then whoever speaks, if you would state your name for our clerk so he can make sure that he gets the records correct, that'd be great.
Hey, everybody. I'm glad I'm not you guys having to listen to all these tax cases.
This is Jeff Bork. This is Jeff Bork.
My name is Jeff Burke. I'm the executive director for the Branson Airport. And with me here is John Crossley with Hush Blackwell Sanders, our attorney. Also, Dave Mathewson, the state-certified appraiser that we've hired to perform an appraisal for your use, which we'll give you a copy of that, and also Stan Field, our CFO for the airport. So good morning, everybody. We're obviously here this morning to review the potential tax liability of $238,160 per year that we received back a few months ago. I believe that is based on an improved commercial appraised value of $15 million and assessed value by the appraiser of $4.8 million. It was based on the improvements on the property, which is owned by Taney County and leased to the transportation, leased ultimately to the Branson Airport via the Transportation Development District. So I think that's one thing that I'd like to just stop there. If anybody has any questions about the structure of how our airport is set up and the lease of the property, I'd like to answer that first, because I think that's been an issue that's been confusing.
You have a question about the structure? So, okay. Danny has a question here.
In the buildings in question, in the lease, is there any wording that would let you remove any of the facilities if something happened and you guys went under?
Not of value. I mean, the buildings are permanent structures on the facility. They're not temporary structures. They're built there as permanent assets on that facility.
Okay.
So the land was gifted to Taney County. Taney County in turn leases it to the Transportation Development District, who in turn leases it to the Branson Airport. And Branson Airport pays the Transportation Development District $6.8 million a year, or the amount equal to the debt service in a form of a lease payment. So right now,
and the length of the lease is?
It's 50 years.
50 years.
It expires June 1st, 2057.
Okay.
Chair?
Yes, sir.
There was a question, I believe, are there properties that the assessor has assessed that you don't that you agree should be assessed?
Yes.
Some properties outside?
Well, there's the 422 acres that we're talking about here, which is Branson Airport. And that's the land, that 422 acres was the land gifted to the county, and then that's the leasehold estate that we have that we feel should be assessed in a different method via, based on John, when John will present that to you, the legal side of that, which is not my area of expertise, but outside of that, we also own 500 acres of land under Branson Land, and there is a improvement on that property, which is the rental car facility, which I don't believe we've been assessed any tax on that. I could be wrong on that, but I don't believe we've received a tax bill for Branson Land. We do receive property tax bills, which we have all along, which we've been paying.
Personal property is what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
James, can you answer that? Because I think that was the question I was referring to that came up the other day.
There's a rental car facility and a fuel farm for the rental
car. It's not on Branson Land. It would be included on the, I think the, according to what I heard in here last Friday or whatever, that is they're in such close proximity, my guys don't have it on Branson Land. They actually have it on you.
It's on Branson Land.
Okay. We'll make a note of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we can show you whatever documentation
you
want.
The valuation.
Can we correct that for 2010 then?
Be switched over to Branson Land.
Well, that was the discussion last Friday. That we looked at a map and Jim,
right.
Was,
I mean, they,
Jim was even confused on a new.
We pulled up the original.
But when you come up to Beacon, it's on there. It shows that it is.
We pulled up the original bond issuance where there's a TDD boundary line, and that, I think that changed a little bit from the original paperwork to the actual parcel. And so there was a little gray area of where the car wash sat. So I think we just need to get that. We'll get that valuation.
It's definitely on Branson Land.
Okay.
So I can. You know, basically, when you drive up to the airport and you know the back loop road,
mm-hmm.
I should have brought a map, but the loop road that, you know, goes around, everything on the left side of that road
is
Branson Land, with the exception of the water tower. There's actually a sliver of land because the water tower and the wastewater facility are on
the TDD.
Branson Airport, yeah.
What about the tower?
The tower is on Branson Land, but it's leased back to Branson Airport for the term of the lease, so it's under the same.
So it would be on land at the airport, too.
Yeah. But Famous Dave's.
Famous Dave's, all of that stuff is on Branson
Airport. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, the terminal, the main terminal building, all of the primary assets are on Branson Airport with the exception of the rental car facility.
All right. Go ahead, Jeff.
Right. So John's going to come up and present the legal argument that the method of the appraisal should be based on the Branson Airport being a leasehold estate, and the tax should be assessed on the leasehold value, which is a different method than what was used. And then after that, I will just come up and give my general understanding of the appraisal that we have. And do you have? Were you able to? You probably were not able to print copies of that prior to the meeting. We will pass out if you'd like. We pass out copies of these.
Did we get it? Electronically?
Do you have an actual appraisal?
Yes.
Did it come in electronically before today?
Yeah. Well, no. It came in early this morning.
Okay. Then no. Because we have zip drives of all the documents that were submitted before the today.
Well, we'll give. We
need copies.
We have printed copies. We have three copies with the full exhibits and everything because we ran out of time to print them all.
That's fine.
And then we have just the appraisal, several copies of that. So we'll pass those around.
Okay.
And I'll come up and give my summary of how I understand that, which is I'm not an appraiser, obviously.
Right.
And we can answer any questions. And Dave's with us as well to go into as much detail as you'd like. We only need about 10 more minutes to go through, present what we have, and that will leave us plenty of time for questions.
All right. Okay. Go ahead. Come forward.
Morning, everybody. As Jeff mentioned, my name is John Crossley. I'm the attorney for Branson Airport LLC and also the attorney for the Transportation Development District. My address is 4801 Main Street, Kansas City, Missouri, 64112. Just to reiterate, for purposes of drawing a parallel between what we plan to present, I'm going to repeat what Jeff said about the ownership structure of the airport, and that is we've got land that was gifted by Branson Airport LLC to Taney County in the amount of 422 acres back in approximately 2005. Taney County owns that 422 acres, which we always describe as the basic footprint of the airport, like Jeff indicated, and they lease that to the Branson, Missouri Regional Airport Transportation Development District, which is a political subdivision of the state of Missouri. The Transportation Development District then, in turn, through an operating lease, leases the entire footprint of the airport to Branson Airport LLC, which is a private entity. Branson Airport LLC, through lease payments over the course of the term of the lease, pays annual payments that now are about $6.8 million. Those will escalate over the term of years as principal is reduced, things like that. But that is the entire debt service obligation necessary to retire the bonds that were used to construct the airport. At the end of the term of the lease, the entire structure collapses, for lack of a better word, and the improvements and the airport itself becomes owned by Taney County, Missouri. The TDD goes away. Branson Airport LLC may or may not go away, but it has no ownership interest in the airport itself after that point. Sir, you asked the question about whether or not items could be removed, anything like that, or if Branson Airport LLC happens to go under at any point and can no longer satisfy the debt. Essentially, what would happen there is that the entire structure collapses early through a series of maneuvers where the bondholders take over the interest in the airport, but the entire structure at the end of the day collapses, and Taney County has an airport at the end of that.
Do the bondholders have the opportunity to remove anything?
No, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chuck.
Under it. The way it's supposed to work out normally, what's the period of time that that's expected?
It's the term of the lease, so it's a 50. It'll be, what was the end?
50
57.
2057?
2057. Yes, sir.
Kelly, you had a question?
It sounds like you're saying that the lease payments are $6.8 million. Mm-hmm. And there's no actual reversion to the lessee at the end of the lease.
That's what I'm saying, sir.
So their obligation is $6.8 million fixed for the 50 years?
It increases over a period of time because there are some principal reductions built into the bond payments that start to occur really in
2013 it goes to $8.9 million.
Yeah.
2013 it goes to $8.9 million,
yeah. Every year.
And it's roughly that the payment
for the remainder of the
payment.
Okay.
Okay. It's about that. There's also fees and things, but it's not less than.
Sit right here, Jeff, so we can get an audio recording of everything. Go ahead.
For the next 3 years, it will not be less than $6.8 million. And then after that, it will be not less than $8.9 million.
Is there provision in the lease for paying off bonds early?
The bondholders are given, that would be in the bond indenture itself, and the bondholders are expecting a rate of return on those bonds for the term that they invested in. So they negotiated a situation where if there is an opportunity to prepay the bonds early, it would come with a substantial penalty to make up for the bondholders' lost interest income over the remaining term of the bonds. And if Branson Airport decided to pay off the bonds early, there is no provision where they would get to, just essentially take the airport, and operate it for the remainder of the lease term. Once the bonds are paid, the necessity of the lease is no longer there.
Okay.
It says essentially, you hit the reversion.
It says the lease says that concurrently, that with the delivery of this operating lease, that pay to the district the sum of $100, mm-hmm. and pay or cause to be paid to the trustee an amount equal to the principal of interest on and premium, if any, on the bonds when such payments are due.
Right.
If the bonds were paid off early, mm-hmm. for some reason,
that would be the premium that they're mentioning there. There would be a prepayment premium that would be attached to that.
Well, I'll say in the next 3 years, there's no way we're paying these bonds off.
Well, I understand the next three years, but
I'm looking at the term of the ownership. What?
At the end of the day, not to put too fine a point on it, at the end of the day, once the bonds are retired, the necessity of the lease structure goes away, and you essentially have everything revert back to Taney County. Everything else collapses because the only reason for the TDD operating lease is to support the bonds itself.
But you would still have the lease.
What rights does the...
Hold on one question at a time.
Go ahead,
Bob.
But you would still have the lease? You mean this lease is not for a period of time, that once the bonds are paid off, the lease goes away?
That's the reason for the that's the reason for the lease, is that it supports the bond financing. If Branson Airport comes up with $113 million plus prepayment premium and wants to retire that right now and pay the TDD, retire the bonds, and continue to operate, I think that they could do that for the remaining period of time. But what you have is a, you know, you've kind of got a wash scenario, because either way, Branson Airport has paid off the entire cost of constructing the airport, which will eventually revert to Taney County itself.
But they still have the right to operate for the term of the lease, which is 50 years.
Which right would cost them $113 million plus penalties up front.
Okay.
So they have no reason to do that.
Yes.
All right, so their possessory rights as defined in the lease is only to the extent of the 50 years.
Correct.
What they own by this lease is the right to occupy and use and do whatever to that property until such and such a date, 2057.
That's
they have
exactly
no rights whatsoever after 2057.
Right. There is no, like you'd see in a typical financing lease for industrial revenue bonds, something like that, there's no bargain purchase price at the end of this.
There's no option to continue the lease. And it's,
yes, there is. Yes, there is an option.
If you issue more bonds to construct more property, there's an option to extend. But this is part of the science of why the lease term is as long as it is. The lease term is measured by at the time that the improvements are constructed, their useful economic life for tax purposes, so that the bonds could be issued on a tax-exempt basis. In order to extend the term of the lease and still have tax-exempt debt to issue it, you have to issue more bonds, and that's what brings that's what extends the lease term out. But as we're sitting here at this moment in time, you know, what you have is a lease term that has to expire in 2057 upon the retirement of the bonds.
So does the op?
Wait,
go ahead.
One follow-up question.
Okay. I was just going to say so. Your rights go away in 2057, and
correct,
the property belongs to
the county,
the tenant, to the leasehold, the lease fee interest. What would the operator of the airport do at that point? Would they then competitively bid or bargain for a market rent on the property?
I suspect that's probably what they would do. They would be bidding. They, you know, Taney County, you know, again, yeah, okay, could operate it. They could lease it out to a private operator. However, you know, okay, it would be their asset at the time to do with as they pleased.
Okay. All right. I think I understand.
Mr. Strahan?
Yes. In the original agreement, as we set through the agreement, at the end of the 50 years, there is an option for the airport, Branson Airport, to extend the lease. They have an option to extend the lease, because that was a point that was brought up during the signing of the documents that were presented at that time.
And that is to the extent that there are additional bonds that have been issued for additional improvements to the airport, and that would carry out the term of the lease. And I'll tell you, for tax purposes, if Branson Airport extended out the lease at that time, and the lease payment that they, you know, negotiated was less than a market rate, there would be a bonus value that would create it, and that leasehold interest, you know, may well be taxable.
Well, if there was no improvements at that time, after 50 years, you still have the option of a lease.
I disagree with that.
Well, that's what we signed the papers, and that was brought up, and that was what was explained in the original signing of the, that you had first option, actually, to
I think that that's right, again, to the extent that there were additional improvements that were that are financed with the cost of additional bonds.
So if more bonds are issued, then there is an opportunity to extend the lease.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing what you're saying.
Right.
Okay. All right, continue on.
Okay. essentially, that's the structure. I've got a copy of an excerpt from the Missouri Assessor's Manual that talks about how assessors are supposed to assess leasehold interests in real property. And essentially, as Jeff said and as we just said, that is on a bonus value methodology. And what bonus value means very simply is bonus value is the difference between the contract rent, in other words, the rent required in the lease itself, and whatever the market rent is for that particular piece of property. If the tenant is paying market rent or above market rent, then there is no bonus value to be taxed. If the tenant is getting a good deal and is paying below market rent, then that difference is what would be taxed. That has been decided by the Missouri Supreme Court in a case called Iron County versus the State Tax Commission. And what you had in that situation was a municipality that had elected to issue bonds to construct an industrial improvement, and it leased that constructed industrial improvement for a period of 20 years to a private entity. That private entity paid the amount that was paid as rent, the amount that was necessary to pay all principal and interest under the bonds that were issued. At the end of the lease term, the bonds were paid off. The only difference in that case in Iron County, there was a bargain purchase price at the end, and for $100, the private entity could buy the asset and go on operating as they will. That's obviously not the case here, as we've discussed, but in that case in Iron County, the Missouri Supreme Court indicated that there was no bonus value. There was no taxable value in that specific circumstance.
Okay. I think we all have a copy of that.
Right. Do we have Iron County, or do we have the other?
We have Iron County right here. Okay. Iron County versus the State Tax Commission.
I gave you two cases, and I can't remember if that was.
You've got Iron County, and you've got a case called Frontier Airlines.
Correct.
Versus, and Frontier Airlines is a another case that was decided by the Missouri Supreme Court, where Frontier Airlines operated space in Lambert International Airport over in St. Louis, and the assessor in that case looked at the value of the improvements on that leasehold estate, frankly, essentially what we've got here, where we're being taxed on the value of the improvements on the estate instead of operating under a bonus value scenario. And the Missouri Supreme Court's decision on that in 1975 was that was an improper method of valuing the property. You need to look at the leasehold value. You need to look at whether or not there is any bonus value created under the lease and move forward from there. In the event that for whatever at the commission's pleasure, in the event that you decide that, you know, this bonus value structure is not something that you want to consider, you know, as I've indicated, that's something that the law essentially requires us to look at the bonus value, but in an even-if scenario, there is a Missouri statute, it is 137.115, relating to the assessment of real property. And that statute indicates, in short, that if you have an improvement on a commercial airport that is meets certain federal requirements, and you've got a federal airport layout plan that's been approved. In this case, we have that. The assessor is required to take the value of the improvements, the true market value of the improvements, but then deduct the value of any non-political subdivision contribution to the value of that particular property prior to making their assessment. In this case, we've got an assessor's value of $15 million in change, true market value of $15 million in change on the improvements, but as the bond documents provide and as this project was originally presented, there's approximately $30 million in equity that investors in Branson Airport LLC contributed to this particular project. So if you set aside the the bonus value calculation, which we don't think that you should do, I would urge you to also examine 137.115, which indicates that we have to take that $15 million in true market value and reduce that by, you know, really what amounts to $30 million in equity contributions, thus creating a negative leasehold value either way. So the fine point on my presentation is that in either scenario, either in looking at the bonus value scenario or in looking at the scenario that you would have to adopt under 137.115, this is a situation where there is no...
Does the amount under 137.115 that you just stated, the 30-something million that creates the negative value, does that include the value of the land?
It does not.
Okay, so that's just
about
the...
$35 million, $3 million of that was an equity contribution of the...
So all of the improvements that you said, okay, exceeds the amount that the assessor has it assessed at?
The equity contribution in Branson Airport LLC was, you know, which is used to, you know, pay a portion of the construction costs of the airport, exceeds the true market value that was placed on the property for purposes of this assessment.
Okay. And he used the cost approach, I think.
So you're saying that that you have investors that invested $30 million?
Yes, sir.
And that is above and beyond the bond?
Yes, sir.
That was the money that you put into it?
Yes, sir.
Above the bonds?
It's bond. The cost of the construction of the airport was bonds plus equity.
Right. And the equity...
is $30 million. Bucks.
Okay, and that's what was used?
Yes.
And how are those investors being paid?
Through Branson Airport LLC.
When we make a profit, that's when
they have a membership stake
type.
In
it's a profit sharing type scenario.
Yeah, they've got a stake in Branson Airport LLC.
All right, I'm ready to start asking questions.
All right, we do want to go through the appraisal because that's the key element here. I mean, we'd like to do that first.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Before we start that, Jeff, is there any questions for Mr. Crossley?
Yes, I'd like for Mr. Crossley to answer the question of when this was initially. See, I have a kind of a memory that tells me that Branson Airport, when they were negotiating with the county to do this project, said that they had contacted Hollister Schools and would work with them any way they could not to affect their tax base, which we were taking 900 and some odd acres out of their tax base. And at that point, it was brought up in the negotiations of the entire project if it would affect the school system or not, and they, if we want to go back and pull the minutes or pull the meeting minutes, they requested that they would work with the school, and they promised not to affect the school district in any way.
Okay.
So where does your proposal fit into that scheme of thought? As not to affect the school system if you have commercial businesses in your facility, and with the addition of commercial businesses to your property under your scenario, capitalize upon other businesses that are in the area.
Well, if I understand your question right, sir, I mean... First, you indicated that we were removing 900 and some odd acres from the tax base. 422 is the footprint of the airport. That's what went to municipal ownership, and so that's what became non-taxable. There's still an extra 500 acres on the that's owned by Branson Land LLC that is taxed, and as Jeff and Jeff discussed earlier, there are some improvements on there that. Probably aren't being taxed that maybe very well should be. And we're more than happy to discuss
that. Well, total
is 900 and some odd acres. Yes, sir.
That was brought into us for the initial transfer was 900. And
422 was transferred to the county, though. The other 500 stays in private, and that's always paid.
We're paying taxes on that land now.
Oh, okay.
We've always paid taxes.
We're not paying taxes on the improvements. I don't believe we were assessed
the tax
on that.
So this tract is 422 acres.
Yes, that's the footprint of the
tract that we're talking about is 422. Okay. The 500 is taxable, and we need to just make sure we're
Correct.
Assessing properly on the all the other.
Correct.
Yes, sir.
So, okay.
That being said, I wasn't privy to those discussions that you're referencing, sir, but, you know, I would contend that the economic benefit to the school district, to the surrounding properties of having an airport that taxpayers did not pay for is astronomical. And I think that Jeff can discuss, you know, a lot of the economic benefits and the economic benefit models that were presented back at that point in time.
Absent the development, the 422 acres would have been taxed at agricultural or 12%. Is that correct?
I suspect that that's correct.
At 250,000 employments, which is what we believe we will get to, we generate $92 million in new visitor spending, according to our latest economic impact study, which all generates tax revenue for the district.
All right, Jeff, why don't you go ahead and just go through the appraisal?
Well, you know, the main point here is that that this is a leasehold estate and it should be taxed as such, which is what John just went through. So based on that, is there a market value? Is the market value of the leasehold exceed the contract value? That's the question. If you believe what we've just presented, then we should be assessed tax on the market value of this property compared to the contract value of what's being paid on the for rent. Does everybody follow that? Okay. So, and our contract rental payment is $6.8 million. For the next 3 years, it goes up to $8.9 million after that. So at this point in time, the market rent is well below the contract rent. Hold on, let me back up. I'm going to summarize my understanding of that appraisal, and Dave here can go through it in more detail. But the Branson Airport makes the lease payment of $6.8 million in 2010, 2011, and 12. Then it goes up to $8.9 million. We should be taxed on the bonus value if one exists. In other words, if the market rent is greater than the contract rent, we would have a tax liability. At this point in time, market rent is well below the contract rent. And the way we prove this is by examining what several airports around the country are making on a per-passenger employment basis. So what an employment is it's the number of people getting on the airplane at that airport. It's a gauge that airports use. If you fly in, you fly out. So just to keep it simple, what airports do on a national basis to compare themselves to each other is measure revenue on an passenger employment basis. Does everybody get that?
Let me, if I may ask a question.
Sure.
I mean, obviously the appraisal is going to talk about what you're making at the present time and try to establish a present value based upon how the airport is operating now, but it's based on the present value of how the airport operates over a period of time, over the period of the lease. So do you have projections that you used in selling the bonds that talks about what you expect the airport to do over the next 45
well,
years?
Well, what we've done here is assess what the... I mean, we're a new business model, an unproven business model in this country. Nobody has ever done this before. There isn't comparables in the sense of what does this business model do? I mean, we can write something on paper and make all the projections we want. It doesn't mean that those are going to occur. What has occurred and what is real is what our airport industry does today.
But those projections were used to sell bonds, and obviously you wouldn't have made those projections had you believed that they were false. So you obviously believed at that time that those projections were accurate.
Yeah, and we do. But right now, what are we doing today? What are we doing today? And what is the value? What would somebody pay to lease this airport is the question. We're trying to establish what the market rent of this facility is, and right now it's well below what our contract rent is. There's not a person in the industry that would come in and lease this property for $6.8 million, and I can give you why we believe that's true. And that's because right now the average what an airport makes, we have several examples in the appraisal. But Springfield Airport, for example, makes $20 per passenger employment. Okay, all of the airports that were available, data was available on in our region, and there was 15, on average, make about $14 per passenger employment.
And then across the country, if you survey every small hub airport across the country, which is not in that report, but it's about comes out to about $20 a passenger. So from a market perspective, the airport industry over time has made, that's what the airport industry makes. At best, $20 a passenger employment, $20 per passenger employment. So if you take that and you take the $6.8 million that we're paying in a lease payment to the TDD, we need at least 330,000 passenger employments before we make that lease payment. Now, we do believe that we're going to be able to do better than that $20 per passenger, but we haven't proven that yet. And we haven't proven that we can do that over time or at higher levels of employments. So the industry today is making $20 per passenger employment. We're doing right now in 2011 or 2010 we project that we're going to have 111,000 passenger employments. That's less than a third, or about a third of what we would need just to cover the lease payment. So we're far from having a market rent that exceeds contract rent here. I mean that's the main point.
How far are you from it in years?
Well, you know, who knows? I mean, we're developing our business model every day. We're you know, when am I going to reach? First of all, whatever passenger employments we reach, you know, when will we reach that number? I don't know. But even if we reach that number, that doesn't mean we're profitable yet. There's still operating and maintenance expense on top of that. Plus, there would need to be a certain level of acceptable profit margin before that market rent would be, you know, before somebody else would lease this property for $6.8 million a year, or above.
I mean, it sounds like you're saying that in the current, what I need to get to is, what is the market rent of the property? There's more than one way to achieve that number other than just comparable market rents. And it sounds like you've established, at least David has in some of his data here, that the market rent is going to be something like $15 or $20 per passenger employment in any particular year. And, I mean, the data is there that you're not making the $330,000 employment yet.
Correct.
Rents yet. But we're not looking at the current year in isolation. We got to extend that out over the remaining 40, whatever it is, 47 years of the lease. Do you have projections as to what you think your employments are likely to be through that 50 years?
No. And there's no way to project that. I mean, now.
If I could pop in, though, I think that what Branson Airport LLC projects to make in terms of its annual employments is a slightly different question than what market per employment revenue is, which would establish the market value of this lease. If Branson makes, you know, if Branson Airport makes $30 instead of $20 per passenger employment, that would enable them to pay above market rent, possibly, but it doesn't, I don't think, establish what market rent is.
Market rent, it sounds like, is going to be determined by the volume of airport business going through the property.
Well, I think that's going to be able to establish what the gross revenue to Branson Airport LLC is. I don't know that it establishes what market rent is.
Well, doesn't that establish what somebody else will pay if they're able to do the same thing? Obviously, they'll pay more than they would for a lease where they didn't make that amount.
Okay, yeah. So if somebody does that, though, that means that they could pay above market rent, but it doesn't change what the market itself is.
So what are you all saying the market rent of the property is through the 50-year term of the lease?
We'll let Dave answer that question, but essentially what we're saying is that at this snapshot in time, there is no market for this property.
But when you're valuing the leasehold estate, you don't look at snapshot in time. You look at projection through the holding period.
Right, and I'll let Dave explain that.
And were you saying that the profitability of the lease doesn't alter the value of the lease?
Exactly. I think it may alter the value of the lease. I don't think it alters what the equation is for purposes of determining whether or not there's a bonus value created.
Well, you have a constant, correct, what the bonds are. And then you have, if you have profitability, whatever that profitability is determines how much the bonus value is when compared to the fixed bond.
Why does that determine what the bonus value is? If other similarly situated airports throughout the nation make X number of dollars per employment, then that is what a standard business model is going to come in, and that's how people are going to value whether or not they could afford to run this airport. If Branson Airport LLC has a specific business model that they're going to use that would enable them to, you know, provide better amenities, provide better service, and still make money, then they're able to do that.
But a whole different
whether or not the company is profitable or not. I mean, look
but at this point in time.
This is not a federal airport,
no,
obviously.
But at this point in time, our business model is unproven. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. You know, it's not proven yet. I mean, okay. What is proven is what airports around the country can make on a per passenger basis nationwide. That is proven.
All right. Go ahead. If you would bring David up.
I have one other question on this. There is an alternative method for determining market rents on stuff, and that's just to look at the fee simple value and establish the normal rate of return, and that would multiply one by the other, and that would get you an indication of what the market rent ought to be. Do you guys have any idea of what you think the fee simple value of this airport property would be?
Another question for Dave.
Another question for Dave. Okay.
I'm going to finish up my portion of this, and we'll bring Dave up by just saying, you know, this is the reason why the $15 to $20 per passenger employment is the key here is because that is a proven business model. That's what airports have been doing for decades. Our model is not proven. That said, we do believe over time that that's why we're here. If we didn't think that we could build this business, we wouldn't be here. We believe in what we're doing. We believe we're going to get these passenger employments up over time, but we're far from that, and we don't know when that will occur, but we're doing everything we can to do
it. One other quick question. What is your understanding of what the cost to construct all of the improvements on that site was?
Construction costs were...
Not including personal property, just the real estate. The improvements.
Just the improvements.
The improvement, the runways, taxiways, everything?
Runways, taxiways, buildings, but excluding all of the rolling stock equipment.
I'd have to get back to you on the real number on that.
I mean, do you have a vague idea?
Yeah, I mean, $125 million, something like that.
Okay.
One quick question. Go ahead, Nick.
Branson or Springfield Airport or other similar airports that are smaller non-hub airports like Branson, who operates those? Are there companies?
No, they're operated. There's a variety of way airports are operated around the country, but most of them are operated by municipalities.
Okay.
Some have management companies that operate the facilities on behalf of the county or the city.
So but, establishing a market rent is almost impossible from the fact of what would somebody else pay because you know, there's nobody out there renting airports.
Right, there isn't, and that's why we came down to what are these airport facilities making across the country. That's data that's accessible and available. And we know that for decades now, airports have been making $15 to $20 a passenger. Some good ones are making $25 or even a little better than that. But that's the range of passengers. You know, on average, it's nationwide for a small hub airport, every small hub airport in the country makes about, on average, $22 a passenger. In this region of the country that we're in, it's much lower because there's a lot of low-cost service. It's about 14.
All right. We have another question by Mr. Paulson.
Quick question.
There
are several entities that evidently lease from Branson Airport LLC.
Yeah.
And you're not speaking as to any bonus value that any of those entities may have their leases.
Well, any revenue we receive from those businesses on airport go to pay the our lease.
I understand, but you're not speaking as to the value of their lease.
Those lease values are all derived from the lease between the between the political entity and Branson Airport LLC.
But and this is my, and I know where your question is that you've got two other entities operating out there. Okay, you have an exclusive restaurant. There's only one restaurant, so there's certain, I would say, a certain value to that lease. There's also, it's widely known that there's only one rental car company out there, and some would assume that they are paying a premium price for that rental space. So I although you're coming to us with a lump sum lease value of which the $6.8 million, there may be some value that I'm looking at in the enterprise rental lease, because unless their lease is short term. I mean, is their lease an extended lease?
5 years.
Okay.
So the lease is 5 years?
So you've got, 4 years remaining on that lease.
Okay, and is that the same with Famous Dave's then?
I'm not sure of the lease term on that. I believe it's three years.
Okay.
Bass Pro?
The Bass Pro, I had a conversation with Jeff yesterday. The Bass Pro shop, in a different meaning, it's basically consignments. You're licensing their name, and your guys are operating it.
And we purchase the product from them and sell it.
They're a wholesaler. All right, let's get Dave up here and move on. Keep on going. I know what time it is, and we're working. I'm communicating with the clerk's office to buy more time since we've got more questions here. So
go ahead. I understand the shortness of time. My name is David Mathewson. I'm a real estate appraiser, a state certified general. My office in Springfield, Missouri. And basically, what I've done in the report is try to prove, is there a leasehold value in the property? And the only way that you could prove a leasehold value in the property is to see if there is a potential of a bonus rent, something that would someone would come in and rent the property over and above existing lease terms. To qualify that, to see if there is a potential of that, you go out to qualify the revenue stream. A tenant's going to look at a property and look at the revenue stream and decide how much rent he can pay. So the whole basis is the revenue stream. So that's how I approached it. And on page, how I start off with, I reviewed all 380 airports in the United States, commercial airports. And then I narrowed the search down to look at the ones within a 200-mile radius of the Branson Airport. And in the report, I recite 12. Four of them are quite large, Lambert, Memphis, Kansas City, Tulsa, and then the others are smaller regionals, two of which are the Northwest Arkansas and the Springfield National Airport. What I'm looking at there is the number of enplanement passenger counts to see if there's any trends. I recite it from years 2006 through 2009. The market trend, which all of us know because we read the paper, is tourism's down. Market trend is enplanement numbers are down. And that shows nationwide and regionally that the trend is a decreasing number of enplanements. Additionally, in the report, I looked at what is the airlines doing. And if you look at over the last few years, the airlines have reduced the number of seats available. So that also hampers it, because if there's not a seat available, there's going to be less passengers that can fly because the seats aren't there. The trend is right now planes are being taken out of service. The reasoning for that was to get supply and demand in the airline industry back in balance. Well, the idea was reduce the supply, the demand will pick up, and we can get airline fares up so we can get more profitable position. Well, I recite in this report three additional studies that show airline fares actually have decreased. And that's the reason why we went into a recession. All of this started before the recession of lowering the number of seats, employments were going down, they're trying to get in a profitable position, then we go into a recession, and so nothing has really come to a full circle yet. Fares are down, employment numbers are down, so in essence, the nation trend and even our region trend is that you cannot expect an increase in employment counts or passenger counts on a consistent basis at this point.
During a recession?
Through the recession or in the near future. For the simple reason, you do have gray space in most airports right now that has to be absorbed. Those airlines got to bring on the planes before they even start looking at different destinations. They also already have proven routes within airports that they've eliminated. They're on bringing those back online first, and then before they start expanding into other regions. Now, granted, Branson Airport is brand new. It hasn't reached stabilization. Don't have a clue really how to project when it will reach stabilization. But being a new airport, and it is a growing airport, you can project an increasing trend here. I'd grant that. because they wouldn't have built it if they didn't think they were going to get a passenger.
Right.
Okay? So it is logical that you can't expect that employment count should increase in this airport. So then, once I've established what to expect trend-wise as far as employment, I looked at what is revenue stream produced by a per-passenger basis. The national basis is revenue stream per employment passenger. There's several reports I looked at. One particular one was one that was on our region only. They surveyed 80 airports and 15 fully responded. Of the 15, I recited five. And the reason why I recite these five, these are somewhat destination or airports that are that low cost or discount airlines fly to most, and also the two important ones, Northwest Arkansas and Springfield. They're competition right here. From those numbers, what I have figured out, based on their gross revenue reports, the highest one on a per employment was Springfield at $20.29 per passenger. And if you divide that by the lease obligation, they're going to have in Branson 336,506 passengers just to meet lease payment. Now, let me qualify this.
Current lease payment, not the one in 3 years.
Let me qualify this.
The 6.8, you're talking about current lease payment.
You're talking about the 6.8.
Yeah, the 6.8, not the 8 million in 2 more years.
Okay.
But let me qualify this. The lease states the tenant is to pay all operating expenses of the airport and make lease payments. All I'm looking at is just the lease payment. I'm not including what the operations of the airport will cost. That's, you know, I didn't go there because it was obvious when you start looking at these numbers that the airport at this point, there is no bonus value. No one will step up and make an obligation that I'm going to pay more than this lease because the revenues aren't there. There are a third of that just to make lease payment, let alone making an obligation to pay operating costs of the airport. Here's an also point out to you. Last year, Springfield Airport had 398,000 in employments. Northwest Arkansas had 530,000. These are well-established, larger airports with a lot more airlines servicing. How can you expect that the Branson Airport, anywhere in the near future, let alone a few years or how many years, will ever reach even their employment numbers? And that's just to cover lease obligation, lease payments.
Springfield was 336, is that what you said?
398,000.
398?
Last year was 380,000.
Yeah, if I may interject. Northwest Arkansas, you said, had 500 and some odd thousand employees.
530,000 passengers.
They opened their airport in 98 or 99, or when did they open that airport?
I'd say that's probably about right.
So it they went from zero to 500 and some thousand in a period of 11 years?
In 11 years.
And you've gone from zero to 110,000 in the space of 18 months.
Kelly, let me point out something. Northwest Arkansas Airport is quite a bit larger than the Branson Airport. They can service a lot more planes.
Well, their market may be. Their market may be.
Not the market. I'm talking about the facility itself.
Yeah.
There's only four gates at the Branson Airport.
Yeah.
And Northwest Arkansas has a lot more gates. And they're the kind of gates that will service bigger, better planes, too. Okay? So with that in mind, this is where you all were talking about options on the lease.
Well,
that's where the additional bonds would come in to enlarge the airport to support more airplanes.
I think what I'm trying to get at is there any expectation that the, not just in the near term, I mean, everything you're talking to is in the near to intermediate term, but over the 50-year life of the lease, is there any expectation that this property will ever produce enough revenue to meet its lease payment?
It
sounds like you guys are making the case that it's going to be a permanent loser. In the near term, it's a loser, but is it a permanent loser for the 50 years?
You got to understand, I'm not an advocate for my client. I'm a real estate appraiser, and I'm looking at it in my perspective.
Okay.
And what I'm looking at, and I don't want to be too critical because I don't know what was happening. But in my opinion, I don't think the airport will ever really totally be in a profitable position that's marketable.
So not necessarily that you're not saying that it will never grow to the point of being profitable enough to pay for the lease. You're saying from the perspective of someone buying this lease, they wouldn't pay a whole lot for the prospect of sometime in the 20, 30-year time frame of it.
That's right. Now, you get 15 years down the road, it might be different. And you might find a tenant then will take over the obligations of the lease, knowing he can make something over and above the lease.
2 years ago, people bought bonds, correct? And over $100 million worth of bonds, and they paid money expecting that they would have some sort of, that they would get paid. And this is over a period of years, and it was based upon representations and the business model from the people who sold the bonds. Aren't these relevant? And have you looked at these business models and projections and doing your appraisal?
I was privy to the projections, the original projections. And then the original projections, they had said that this year they would produce 229,000 employments.
But we have a recession.
You said this happened 2 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
The projections were done in 2009.
Okay.
Okay? So in 2009, they were projecting 229,000. First quarter of this year, they've done 30,000. Their projections now for this year is 111,700. Okay? Now, in reality, there's two things here you got to look at. Not only is the lease payment obligation, but the operating cost of running the airport, okay, because they've taken on that obligation, paying everybody out there to operate the airport, maintain the airport, all of those obligations are part of the lease. So that's over and above just the lease payment. I'm proving in my report no one would step up to even make the lease payment or take over the obligation of the lease payment because the revenue stream is not there to even cover that part.
So you look at the projections and discarded them as not credible?
No. Here's what I'm saying is what I'm looking at is based on the number of employments at the two local airports and what their projections are, it will be several years down the road before it gets to that point. Now, there is one other point I want to end with. If you look at the lease, it also requires the tenant to set up proper reserves. Reserves for maintenance and replacement of the airport to make sure it's being operated properly, and also a debt coverage ratio of 1.25. So in essence, what you're saying is there a tenant that's going to step up and pay more in lease and then obligate themselves several million dollars in upfront reserves? It's not there. There is no market.
So your contention is, so looking at what I'm talking about, the long-term projection,
mm-hmm.
it was your judgment that, all right, looking at if there is a positive value at some point in the year, in the future, you're saying 15 years from now we may be looking at a positive value of the lease.
What I'm saying is what I would recommend you do is look at it again in the future because there is no model to set it on. There is no history I can base any projections on.
Well, what I was saying is, if some number of years in the future this becomes a valuable lease, it's going to have a positive value at that point 15 years in the future. The present value today of that positive part of the lease, would it be your judgment that that positive value would be greater than or less than the negative value of the deficiency in the lease obligations between now and the time that it becomes positive? Do you understand the question?
I understand the question, but the effective date of this value is January 1st, 2010.
Yes.
So what I got to look at is if I'm going to do a DCF for the 50 years, I'm going to have a negative stream.
That's what I'm getting at, is the present value of the negative part of the stream
is going to offset
the future positive value in the future.
But if I get 15 years down the road and I start discounting from that point, then we might have
a positive value.
But when you're looking at today, what an investor would look at today, he's got 15 years, a rough road, before he could possibly start making money.
Okay.
So, you know.
And he'd have to make enough money to compensate for the short
That's
short
right.
Call is the first 15 years.
That's right.
Okay.
But every 3 years, the assessor looks at it again.
Every two years.
Right.
But I note also in your report that you state fairly explicitly that you don't actually have any data on the subject property as to what their revenues per employment are.
I requested was not provided, and the reasoning for that is
they're wanting to hold it pretty close to the vest, I imagine.
At this point, they just open. There isn't anything that you can really hang your hat on,
except
and we don't want to. They really didn't want to give the perception out there that, you know, we're having problems because, hey, guys, it just opened.
Yeah. Right?
Give them time to get going, you know?
They need to maintain the hype, but they don't want to have to pay the tax on the hype.
Well, right. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Is there any other questions?
Anything for David?
Okay. I do have a question.
Sure.
Do you have any feeling? It sounds like they're saying the original cost of this airport, of the airport improvements, was like $125 million.
Uh-huh.
The land, it's 400 and some acres, probably worth a couple grand an acre, $1 million. So you're probably looking at a total cost of still somewhere around $125 million. Do you have a feeling, any idea of what the fee simple value of the property would be? In a current market condition.
Okay.
I understand
what you're asking.
I'm getting to two things.
As agricultural, right?
No. What I'm getting to is an alternative method to determine the market rent is if you knew the fee simple value, multiply that times the cap rate, that'd give you the triple net market rental. And the original value estimated by its cost 2 years ago was $125 million. Is it conceivable that under current market conditions, where they're having employments that are probably half or two-thirds of what they were originally projected, as we moved into the recession, is it possible that the improvements are now obsolescent from our fee simple market value to something substantially less than $125 million? And if so, do you have a judgment or a range or a guess as to what you think the fee simple value would be?
You hit the nail on the head right there, what you just said, and I'll just say it again.
Okay.
I really don't have a judgment on what the fee sample value is, because I didn't go there. But we do know it's $130 million bonds out there.
Okay.
And we do know the revenue stream is not supporting the bonds at this point.
Okay.
So it is a super adequacy, or there's either functional or external obsolescence, any way you want to look at it.
And
it's overbuilt for the market,
contribute.
And you have to discount the actual cost to where the revenue stream will support.
So it's possible the fee simple value of the property would be significantly less than $125 million.
Yeah.
Do you have a feeling for what you think the relationship between income and annual value would be on an investment of this guy's size?
I understand what you're saying. If I was going to build it to lease, basically, and my hard cost, deducting the depreciation that we're finding there, I would probably want something at the minimum of a 9% return. But chances are, with a special use property, I'd probably want to be shooting an 11 to 12% return.
Okay.
So
I was thinking, on the scale of the property, if you had bond rated tenants and all that kind of stuff, you might be looking at still more like an 8% return.
Even at an 8% return, the question is, you got to start with the basis. What is the fee simple to work that out? And
if
the revenue stream is a third of what it is today, you got to believe the fee simple is going to be a third of the cost.
So we could be looking at a fee simple value of like $60 million, 60, 70, 80 million times
yeah.
eight. So the market rent would be something more like 4.8 or 5 million.
Yeah.
And
I didn't want to speculate what market rent is because the revenue stream doesn't support what
doesn't
the current lease term,
them.
So there isn't any leasehold position to even figure.
So you don't have any actual evidence as to what you think the market rent is. You're just saying whatever it is, it's going to be less than what the current bond is.
It's going to be substantially less than what the current obligation is.
Right.
In the current term, but you can't project that out 50 years.
Can, but we're probably going to show a negative number at this point.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Good, thank you.
Yeah.
One of the things, gentlemen, we did move our appointments back 30 minutes. We have 10 more minutes is all, but then we have to stop in 10 minutes. So do we have I mean, Jeff, do you have some closing statements?
I just
real brief closing statements, yeah. So we have some time to talk.
I just want to finish up by saying, you know, we're here every day working our tail off to bring passengers to this part of the country. We have a business model that we believe we can implement and make work over time. This is a 50-year investment for our owners and investors in this project. We're not there yet. But everything that we do right now today benefits this community. We project that we're going to bring 111,000 passengers into this community. The bulk of those are visitors coming to town. At least 75% of those are people visiting here who are going to spend money in this community and who will derive benefit to the community. That said, this investment is not proven, and we have a long way to go before it is, and we hope that you relook at this tax issue in the future instead of assessing these tax values today.
I have a question. I don't know if you're able to answer this. Do you have any information on how the value of the bonds that are being traded, have they declined any in the last... How is the market reacting to the bonds?
Yeah, I don't have that information.
Did you submit a personal property assessment back to the county?
You don't answer that.
Personal property tax on the vehicle.
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Okay. At one point, I didn't have it because they said they were tax exempt.
But you have it now?
I don't believe so.
Well, I know we've submitted personal property tax on vehicles, and we're paying paying property tax on Branson land. I've signed the checks.
Okay. On Branson land, he did say that.
Yeah, but on Branson Airport LLC, there is a lot of personal property contained inside the four walls of that building out there.
Yeah, we'll get
equipment handling. Equipment is all personal.
Oh, well, a lot of the equipment is leased, and whatever the rules are on that, we've.
And well, if someone, you were in a dispute at some point with someone that actually put in the baggage handling equipment. Is that?
Yeah, that's resolved at this point.
Okay.
Do we have a question for Jeff here?
I do.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
Jeff, I'm kind of hung up on this promise that was made when we took this airport on. We supported the airport. The commission supported the airport by taking the property as a gift to supply the airport. I realize that you bring in money or we wouldn't support it, but the fact that there was a negotiation with Hollister School and the other taxing entities that provide you services, I can't get away from that because I am of the old school that a promise is a promise, and I don't think that it's good relations for you guys to try to exempt yourself from taxability to help the schools.
Well, I wasn't here at that time, so I'm not familiar with exactly what was said. But I can say this, you know, what we're doing, the community has gotten an airport for free, and the asset that airport is sitting on, the property, the 422 acres that sits on, is the property that would be needed to have that airport. The community is getting that asset for free, and we're generating tremendous. If we do what we say we're going to do, and even now at the level of employments we have this year, We're generating tremendous economic impact on the region. I have economic impact studies that have been completed, and I'll share those with all of you if you'd like.
I understand that, but most of that is through sales tax, and
which would generate a lot more than the property tax would.
But that doesn't help the schools. Schools operate off property tax.
Well, it brings more people to the community. It brings more employees. We employ 125 people out at the airport right now, who all own property in the region, in the district, who contribute to the economic vitality of this area.
Bob, you had a statement or a question, I guess.
I was just going to say, if you promised not to negatively affect the Hollister School District, if that promise was made, the prior value would have been 422 acres at agricultural value,
which would have been 12%. And I would imagine that there is some personal property taxes being paid, and it's my understanding that at least a percentage of those do go to the school district. So I'd have to make that calculation to decide whether they're negatively affecting the Hollister School District.
Well, and there's also commercial property that's been constructed on the Branson land property, so we've enhanced the value of the Branson land property over time.
Okay. All right.
Good point.
You guys, board, we've still got five more minutes. I'm always open to entertaining motions or more questions.
I've got a couple of questions, but I'm not the board.
There you are.
You're on the board. James, go ahead. Got some questions.
I'd like to see a copy of the appraisal that is done to sell the bonds. Was there an appraisal done to sell the bonds?
No.
Just promises, and were they classified as junk bonds, or were they supported by the appraisal?
There was an offering statement that was issued by the bond underwriter at the time that the bonds were issued that was circulated to any potential investor that illustrated all of the potential benefits, illustrated all the potential risks, illustrated what the business plan and the potential income and the potential customer base.
But no appraisal. That's just all I needed to know.
Yeah, no, there was not a real property appraisal done at that point.
And then on the other appraisal that was run over here, I heard averages taken. Was there any consideration to the bonus factors per passenger coming in that was dealt with by cities, entities, Silver Dollar City, I'll just use the name? Was any of that added to the prospective per passenger profit?
Well, we don't
receive all the bonus factors?
I don't believe I understand the question, sir. I'm sorry.
Well, there's a big discussion here.
There are agreements with the city of Branson to pay money, and I believe it's now to the TDD and not to the operating entity, per emplanement.
Correct.
And there may be some similar agreements with private entities. Don't know whether that is the case or not. Were those figures calculated in the per plane?
The money in the pay for performance agreement was not calculated into the appraisal because that's not. I mean, that is money that goes either before or after that agreement was just amended. The money that was paid under the PFP agreement went to retire the bonds.
And there's no appropriation for 2010.
Well, it wasn't revenue to Branson Airport LLC. It was revenue. It just went directly, sir, to the
that was just my question.
To the TDD or to the TDD and the trustee.
If this folds up in 5 years, is the bondholders the actual holder of that airport? Nothing to do with the TDD. Nothing to do with any. If it folds up as
Branson Airport.
Okay, is the owners of this airport, not Branson Airport anymore, supported by the TDD and all, or is it the bondholders?
There are a series of transactions that occur whenever this folds up, but ultimately what happens is the entire structure collapses.
Is the bondholders exempt in any way, form, or fashion from taxation?
Anybody that took over the lease would be in the same position as Branson Airport.
Right.
The TDD has a lease from the county.
Correct.
And can lease to whomever they want if there's not a lease currently in place. And the county owns the property subject to its lease with the TDD.
Correct. The TDD, if it leased the property to somebody else, the TDD would still have the obligation to retire all the bonds that are outstanding.
And forget the ag land, forget all value in ag land as being a benefit to the schools. The statutes say land in and around an airport will be zoned residential and be appraised residential in value. So we keep referring back to an ag land value of not hurting the schools and all this stuff. That is statutorily driven.
Any other questions, James?
No, I don't have any more questions.
Kelly, one question here.
I was just going to clarify. If the bonds aren't paid and the bondholders decide to foreclose on their interest, what exactly do they foreclose on? They foreclose on the interest of the TDD, is that correct?
The bonds are special revenue obligations. The only security for the payment of those bonds is the leasehold revenue.
Is the leasehold revenue?
Yes, sir.
So they don't really have the ability to take the fee simple of the property.
No.
They don't. It sounds like what you're saying is they're not even able to take the leasehold estate of – they're not actually take actual possession of the leasehold estate.
Right.
All they have is the right to the special revenues from the lease.
Correct.
And if the tenant's not able to pay the lease, they just don't get the income.
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
They don't have the ability to pay.
And there's no underwriting by the county or anybody else.
No, sir. No, the county, and that was a...
We're not on the hook for anything at the county.
That's correct.
Or anywhere.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Just thoughts, and Bob and Danny were here, and Danny's concern is, my remembrance is, when we went through this process, that we talked about and were concerned about the schools, and we looked at what they were receiving at the time, the ag value. I do not remember us going, thinking far enough ahead, quite honestly, about, and we haven't heard from the school today, but I've heard other schools talk about it, that the negative thing to them is they've got 25 employees or 50 employees or something working at the airport that may be in their school district with kids that they've got to support, and so that puts an extra burden on them. I do not remember us going that far in our discussions. Do you, Bob? Because to my knowledge, when James assessed this recently, it was something new, and the airport was there. They could pipe in as far as what they remember happening.
Well, anytime you have development, you're going to have either pro or con for the school district. If you get a bunch of homes that are real nice with no kids, obviously it's really good for the school district. If you have very non-valuable homes with lots of kids, it might not be good for the school district. But I think mainly what the school district has a little hardship here today is not because of whether or not the $201,000 that this realizes in taxes goes to them or not. It's the fact that they planned on it, given what was the figures that were given to them, and they've entered into contracts and budgeted accordingly. And now they've committited themselves, and now they may not get the $201,000. I think that's mostly the hardship for the school district.
I talked to him yesterday. Well, I understand that real well. But my question, Bob, wasn't said well, I'm sure, but did we, as the county, you helping us as our council, did we look at this coming up?
I think we, and it wasn't just me as council. There was Branson Airport LLC paid for our attorney who represented us out of St. Louis, and I think we looked at pretty much everything that could be foreseen. I have a disc here that has all of the documents that we entered into regarding the TDD, and I mean, it's a voluminous amount. There were a lot of attorney's fees that were paid by Branson Airport LLC on our part.
But again, my question is, did we look at the issue of the airport being taxed as the assessor has taxed it? I don't remember us discussing that.
It is in one of the documents that they will pay. This specific issue was not addressed that I remember, but there is in the agreement between the county and Branson Airport LLC a provision that says they'll pay all applicable taxes. It doesn't say that if they're exempt that they'll pay it anyway or anything like that, but there is a provision regarding taxes, and it does not include anything concerning the situation.
And you're referencing, I'm sorry, Bob, you're referencing the lease agreements there, correct?
Yeah.
No, I believe there's an agreement between the county and it's...
Well, we want to pay the taxes that we're supposed to pay.
No, I'm not saying that it says that you're going to do something that you're refusing to do today. It dealt with taxes.
No, and I'm not disagreeing with you. It would surprise me if those leases didn't say that the tenants in either cases would pay all applicable taxes.
And this is page 5 of the agreement between the company and the county, section 4C, and it had to do with taxes.
Right.
And I don't believe it was the lease. It was a separate agreement between the county and...
Hold on, Chuck. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, I'll make my point. My point is, I don't think that we looked at this happening. I don't think we really had our hands on what's going to happen when James sees the need to assess it and assesses it. We're at the point today that we've got to make a decision. Is the legal argument that they're not making money has been
the leasehold estate?
If so, they shouldn't be taxed. We want the schools taken care of. Everybody does. But my question is...
Right. Well, I have a real-world example on the schools. I got a 6-year-old daughter who starts Hollister Kindergarten on August 12th. I own an expensive house on the lake. I pay a lot of taxes. I wouldn't be here or own that house if I wasn't working at the Branson Airport.
And you can go on to the benefits at the airport. Maybe the school comes out, as you were saying.
Yes, sir.
We haven't studied that.
All right. Gentlemen, if there's no more questions, I'm going to ask that we kind of end the discussion at this point. And for sake of time, I want to ask for a five-minute recess. We push back to 10:30 again, but we have to get back on schedule at 10:45. Now, we have time at the end of the day to keep on deliberating on this, but thinking through all your questions, I guess my part is, are you guys going to be available by phone if we have more further questions at 4 o'clock? I don't know if it's necessary for you guys to come back here, but if we have questions, I'd like to be able to call somebody to get them on the phone, because obviously our statutory authority is to make a decision in the month of July here.
I think we'd appreciate the opportunity to participate by phone.
And myself and Stan could come back, and we could conference in.
So I know it's a priority. Go ahead, Chuck.
Real quick, the school's here. They've called. This is new to them, unprepared. I believe I've got that right. When will they have an opportunity to speak?
Actually, not in this setting.
Not in this setting.
Not in this setting. They can't. And I talked to Debbie about this yesterday. Okay. That's not. It's actually, yeah, they're not a party to the situation. They would be at the next level, but not this level.
Would they be at State Task Commission?
I believe.
I don't know if they would be at that point.
I know they aren't at this level.
They might be at Circuit Court, but I don't see it.
Right. And I talked to Debbie about it. I mean, we're going to take a 5-minute recess to make sure that everyone speaks and all that. But if I can get some phone numbers or whatever, we're going to do it at this recess, and then we'll get back at 10.
One comment. We had a large discussion about this situation whenever the county was obligating themselves to take on the property for the airport. And at that time, there was a room full of attorneys. I'm not talking about, there was more attorneys there than there were anybody else. So there was a rather large discussion. I'm going to go back and listen to the entire meeting if it's available to the clerk. But in saying that, it took longer to decide whether we were going to go through that process than it did sell the bonds. That's my statement.
All right. We will recess. We'll recess until 10:45.
I have a private question for